Turning your Bibles, Hebrews 11. We're continuing, of course, our study of what we're calling the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we're seeing men and women who took God at His Word. Mostly it's Old Testament, as we see the writer of Hebrews going back and naming people as they trusted God, as they lived by faith. Our goal, of course, is that we want to be the same way. We want to be men and women who live by faith. We want to live by the Scriptures. We want to be faithful. When we stand before our Savior, we want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Over these last weeks, and we've been going through this study verse by verse in Hebrews 11, we've seen great acts of faith. Last time, one of the most famous stories in the Bible was Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. It says, by faith, the walls of a city fell down, and Joshua did what God told him to do, and the Israelites gained a great victory. Well, this morning, we're going to see the story. Well, oh, there it is. Let me go back. Okay, we're going to see the story of Rahab. It's a woman who lived in the city of Jericho. It's a woman that by faith, she did not perish with the rest of the city. And what we want to do is, as we look this morning, we really want to see two things. We're going to talk about spiritual salvation. What I mean by that is that eternal life salvation, trusting in Jesus Christ for Savior. We want to talk about spiritual salvation. But in this passage, particularly, it's a physical salvation. And we want to see that. And as we look at this lesson this morning, we want to think about both of these things. Well, you know, I think the most famous verse in the Bible, if somebody talked to you about and said, what do you think is the verse that more people know than the other verse? Most people would say John 3:16. It's that God so loved the world, that God loved us, that He gave His Son. He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, to come to the earth, to become a human being, to die on the cross, to pay for sin, to rise again, to conquer death. And so He gave His Son that whosoever, and that means anybody, any place, anywhere, whosoever would believe in Him, that's trust in Him, it's by faith, whoever would trust in Him would not perish, be separated from God, but would have eternal life, life forever with Jesus. We often call this salvation. We say we're saved by faith. We trust in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Well, let's think about salvation for a second, because the word salvation in both the Old Testament and New Testament can mean a number of things. A lot of times when you say salvation, you think, oh yeah, we're talking about eternal life salvation, you trust in Christ and you're with Jesus. But there's a Christian life salvation where over in Philippians he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He's not talking about eternal life salvation, he's talking about Christian life. And there's a place in Romans that says your salvation is nearer than it's ever been. It's talking about what we call glorification or a future aspect of salvation. And then there's salvation that's a physical aspect where we're saved from death or saved from an enemy. Now this may surprise you. But most of the time, you can take a concordance, look up the word salvation, go back to the Old Testament, and most of the time the word salvation is used in the Old Testament, it's referring to a physical deliverance. So when we think of salvation, we say, we're talking about eternal life salvation, for by grace you are saved through faith and not yourselves, the gift of God. But in this passage this morning, we're going to see a physical salvation, where Rahab was saved from death, and she didn't perish. And by faith, her family was saved because she trusted in the God of Israel and the spies to save her life. And so as we look at this passage, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about eternal life salvation, but the passage is also dealing with physical salvation. So let's begin. We've been looking at the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we've seen men and women who trusted God, who trusted Him. And think about this. Over the weeks, we've seen a lot of things. We saw that by faith, the world was created. We saw that by faith, Abel offered a better sacrifice. We saw that by faith, Enoch walked with God and was taken to heaven. We saw by faith, Noah built an ark. We saw by faith, Abraham left the place that he was living and went to a place that didn't even know that God promised him. We saw by faith, Sarah at 90 years old was able to have a baby. We saw by faith, Abraham offered up his son, Isaac, knowing that he was the chosen son, that if Abraham killed him, as that's what God told him to do, God would raise him from the dead. We saw Isaac bless his sons. We saw Joseph talk about taking his bones out of Egypt because he wanted to be raised in the promised land. We saw Moses' parents, by faith, hid Moses for 3 months. We saw Moses, by faith, refuse to live in Pharaoh's household and to be with the slaves. We saw by faith they left Egypt, the sprinkling of blood, the Passover. We've seen all of these things. Last time, we saw Joshua and the famous story of the Battle of Jericho. By faith, the walls of the city fell down. It's amazing. God told Joshua and the Israelites to march around the city once a day for 6 days, then on the seventh day, march around it 7 days, shout out real loud, blow the trumpets, and the walls would fall down, and they would have a great victory. And they did that, and the walls fell down, and they had a great victory. As we continue this morning in the Hall of Fame of Faith, the writer mentions a woman by the name of Rahab. We call her, everybody, every time you see her, you go, oh, that's Rahab the harlot. That's a prostitute. And so we're going to look at her and what she did this morning. Let me remember, and I put together for you your passage. This is on the back of your bulletin. But we put together these two because they actually go together about the falling of the walls and the saving of Rahab. By faith there was victory, which that's Jericho, and the walls failed, and they circled the city seven times, and that's Joshua getting the battle, winning the battle. But by faith there's a salvation. And we're talking about a physical salvation, but there may be more to that. And we're going to talk about it as we go through the passage. We're going to see Rahab didn't perish. She didn't die because she hid the spies. Well, let's remember where we are. The events that we're about to read this morning actually take place before the battle of Jericho. But the writer says this because her being delivered took place at the end of the battle of Jericho. Now, let's remember what's going on. The nation of Israel has left Egypt, went across the Red Sea, been through the Promised Land, been around for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and now Moses has led them up to the Jordan River, and it's at flood stage. So picture 2 million Jewish people and families and everybody here, Jordan River at flood stage, the city of Jericho over that way. Moses gives three speeches. It's called the Book of Deuteronomy, and then he dies. And another man by the name of Joshua takes the lead. And Joshua knows that God has already told him that they're going to go into the land, they're going to cross the river, they're going to go into the land, and they're going to take the city of Jericho. But what he decides to do, which is okay, is he's going to send some spies to go into the land. They're going to go across the river to a different place, they're going to come into the city of Jericho, they're going to check everything out, and then they're going to be able to report back and say, this is fine, we can do it. The city of Jericho was on alert. The people in Jericho, it's a big walled city. In fact, what we can find from history, there were two walls. There was an outer wall that went all the way around the city. And then in about a 10-foot gap, after the outer wall, there was an inner wall. And people lived inside the inner wall. And so they've got an outer wall and an inner wall. Usually their soldiers stayed on the outer wall and looked at everything. And then the families and the people were in the inner wall. Everybody's looking out. The people in Jericho say, we see all those people, those Jewish people that are across the river. We're afraid they may come get us. So they've boarded up the whole city. And so the spies sneak into the city and they come to the home of a woman by the name of Rahab. And what happens then? So what I want you to do is turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. So hold your place in Hebrews 11 and turn to Joshua. Joshua's the sixth book in the Bible after Deuteronomy. There's Joshua. And I want you to turn to Joshua chapter 2 and let's see what happens. What a story. And we're going to see about this woman, Rahab. Joshua chapter 2, look at verse 1. Then Joshua sent the son of Nun, sent two men as spies secretly from Shittim, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and they came into the house of a harlot whose name was Rahab and lodged there. Now, they're at this place called Shittim, which is about just on the other side of the Jordan River. The spies cross over. They sneak into the city. As they go into the city, they see a house. And who knows how they knew, but for some reason they came to this woman's house. She is a prostitute in the city, and they go into her house. And she tells them, here's what she says. She says, I know who you are. And I realize you're from God, and I realize the true God is the God of Israel, and you're going to take this city. She knows that. Well, what happened? Look at verse 2 as we go through this. The king of Jericho found out that these men had come into the city. Look at verse 2. It was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. So the word is that, hey, there's some spies here. They even know where they went. Word gets out, and they said, hey, that the woman named Rahab, you know, the prostitute woman, those spies have come to her house. The king says, get somebody over there and get those spies. So verse 3, and the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. The king of Jericho was not necessarily a king like we think of kings. He was actually the protector of the city. He was the most important person in the city who oversaw all of the soldiers. They often called him king. The Hebrew word is melek, M-E-L-E-K. It just meant the person who was basically the strong one, the one in charge. It's often translated as king. So he says, send some people to Rahab's house and get those men. We know they are there. we're going to see, as we look at this passage, we're going to see actually two things. We're going to see what she did and why she did it. So let's see, what did she do? What did she do? Look at verse 4. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. Now, that's what I want you to see. She had hidden these men. Why? Well, we'll see it in just a minute, because we're saying, what did she do? Why did she do it? Notice it says, but the woman had hidden the two men, taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, here's when those soldiers come. Yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they were from. It came about that when it was time to shut the gates at dark, that the men went out. I don't know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. Now, when the people came to her door, what she had done is she had taken the spies and she hid them up in a roof under some flak. They were on the roof and she covered them up with some flak and she's got them all covered. And the people come to her door and they said, where are the spies? And she said, oh yeah, they did come here. Yes, I don't know who they were, but they came here. And then about the time that we shut the big gates of the city, they left. So I don't really know where they are. I don't know what they're doing. And she said that, and she says this, pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. She had hidden them. Watch verse 6. She had hidden them in the roof. They are lying in the roof and can't be seen. Verse 6. But she had brought them up the roof and hidden them in the stalk of flax, which had laid in order on the roof. So watch what happened. So the men pursued them to the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. So she lies. They come up and said, where are those men that came into your house? And she said, I didn't really know who they were. And is that a lie? She knew exactly who they were. They were Jewish people. They were from across the river. And she knew that they were represented the God of Israel. And she knew they were going to take the land. We're going to see that in just a minute. She already knew all that. But she hid them. And when her own soldiers came and said, where are those men? She said, I didn't really know who they were, and they left. About the time we shut the gates, they left. If you hurry, I think you can go catch them. And they said, thank you very much, and they left. She hid them. Let me ask you something. She lied. Is it okay to lie? If somebody said, did you do that? And you go, no, I didn't do that. Is that a lie? If you did it, yeah. Is it okay to lie? Is it okay for her to lie? Is it sometimes okay to lie? Let me ask you this. If this is World War II, and you're in Poland or Germany, and you have a Jewish family hidden in your walls, and the Nazis come in and they say, we have heard that some people are here. And you go, no, there's nobody here. Is that okay to save a life? Is it okay to lie to save a life? Is it sometimes the lesser of two evils? Because could you say, yeah, they're right there in the wall, but somehow God will protect them? Maybe, I don't know. Rahab lied, and it's probably not right to lie. She wasn't lying to lie. She was lying to save some lives. That's something to think about. The value of a life. What did she do? She hid the spies. Now here's the question. Why did she do it? Why did she do this? Look at verse 8. Before they lay down on the roof. Now what happened is she told them. She said, here, these people are coming after you. Get up on my roof and lay down, and then I'm going to cover you up. They won't be able to see you. It says, before they lay down, she came to them on the roof, and she said to them, I know, watch what she says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you have fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. Now, here's what she said. I know. Now, I want you to notice something, that sometimes we read the Bible real fast and we miss something. Notice, she said, I know that the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's the personal name of God. She calls God by a personal name. She says, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and the terror of you have fallen upon us, and all the inhabitants of the land have melted away. And notice he goes on to say, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. Listen, she knew about the past actions of the God of Israel. Let me tell you something. Do you know how long it's been since the Jewish people came out of Egypt? It's 40 years ago. She says, we know about your God. We know about your people. We know what your God did 40 years ago. And we know what he just did is he defeated two kings, Og and Sihon. Og and Sihon were on the other side of the river. She knows it all. She knows about the God of Israel. She knew he dried up the Red Sea. Now here's the key. Look at verse 11. When we heard it, when we heard what happened, our hearts melted. There's no courage remaining in any man any longer because of you. Now watch this. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and earth beneath. She says, your God's the real God. Your God's the true God. See, everybody had gods in those days. They had gods they set up in corners and they'd fall over sometimes. And they had gods they offered sacrifices to. But they were local gods. She says, your God is the God of heaven and earth. She said, he's the real God. And see, the truth is this. We got the real God. We got the one who created everything. We got the one who sustains everything. We got the one who sent his son to die for us. We've got eternal life as a gift. We've got the true God who loves us beyond what we could imagine. And so look what happens. She said, I know about your God. It could be. Now, I'm not saying because the Bible doesn't actually say, but it could be that she has believed in the God of Israel and that she has a spiritual salvation. We don't know. It doesn't really say. But she says, your God is the true God. Now she makes a request. Look what she says. Verse 12. Now therefore, please swear to me by the Lord, personal name of God, since I have dealt kindly with you, that you will deal kindly, you will also deal kindly with my father's household, and give me a pledge of truth. And you will spare my father and my mother and my brothers and my sisters, all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death. She said, I want to ask you a favor. Could you save me and my family? And she's not talking about eternal life salvation. She's talking about a physical deliverance. She's saying, could you save us? We know that the Lord has given you the city, that you're on the other side of the river, but you're going to take this whole place and it's going to be destroyed. And I'm asking a favor. Since I've saved your life, would you save my life and my family's life? Would you save us? So the men said to her, and here's what they said. They said, you saved our lives, we'll save your life. But don't tell anybody about this. So the men said to her, our lives for yours, if you do not tell this business of ours, and it shall come about when the Lord gives us the land, that we will deal kindly and faithfully with you. Now let me tell you something. She's going to have to trust. She's going to, first of all, have to trust the God of Israel. And she's going to have to trust these spies. She's going to have to trust these people who represent the God of Israel. Because what she said to them is, listen, I've saved your life. When y'all come and take the city, would you save my life? And they say, you betcha. But what if they're lying? What if they're not telling the truth? What if they said, oh, we can tell her anything. Tell her anything. When it comes down to it, they're all going to be killed anyway, so it won't matter whether we save her or not. But she says, I'm trusting you. You remember Hebrews? By faith, she didn't perish because she hid the spies. She's trusting in her plan. She must trust God and these men. That's where the faith comes in. She's going to trust them. How can they save her? How can they save her? Look at verse 15. When she let them down by a rope through the window. Remember, this is the inner wall. By the way, I didn't bring that out, but this is the inner wall. Her house is on the inner wall. Remember, there's the outer wall, and then there's the inner wall. You already remember that last time we studied this, that the nation of Israel wandered around the city seven times, shouted, and the wall fell down. Which wall fell down? The outer wall. See? And so she's on the inner wall, and it says she let them down by the rope through the window of her house on the city wall, so she was living on the wall. And she said to them, go to the hill country so that the pursuers will not happen upon you, and hide yourself there for 3 days until the pursuers return, and then you can go your way. She said, let me give you some information. Go back this way, because I told him you were going this way, so you go back this way, and you wait there for 3 days. Give them time to look everywhere, and they can't find you, and then they'll come back. After they come back, then you can get back to the other side. She's saving their lives. Then you can go your way. But look at the plan. The men said to her, we shall be free from this oath to you, which you have made us swear, unless, here's what you must do. When we come into the land, you tie this cord of scarlet thread in the window through which you let us down, and gather to yourself into the house your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household. Here's what's going to happen. We're going out the window down this rope. This rope is a red rope. We want you to do this. We want you to put the red rope and hang it outside the window so that when we take the city, the outer wall falls down and we come in, we'll be able to see the red rope, and we'll tell people, don't kill anybody up there. We're going to save their lives. So you need to put the red rope out the window. Verse 19, she said, it shall come about that anybody who goes out the doors of your house into the street, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be free. But anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head if a hand is laid on him. He says, listen, we're going to protect you. If you stay in this room with the red rope out the side, you will be safe. By faith, she's going to have to put the rope out the window, and she's going to have to get her family in that room, and she's going to have to say to them, listen, I made a deal. They're going to come save us. Stay in the room. If you go out of this room, then you're going to get killed. If you stay in this room, when they take the city, they're going to look up, they're going to see the rope, and they're going to save our lives. By faith. By faith. Verse 21, she said, according to your words, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed. And what did she do? She tied the scarlet cord in the window, by faith. That's the sign. You remember back when the Jewish people were in Egypt, and God said he was going to destroy the firstborn and bring the nation out? And he said, but if you believe me, you got to give me a sign. What was the sign? They were going to kill the Passover lamb and do what? Put the blood on the door. He said, when I see the blood, you'll be safe. They tell this lady, listen, destruction's coming to the city. You put the red cord out the window. When we see the red cord, you will be safe. For every one of us in this room who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we had sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and we owed God death. But Jesus Christ came and said, I'm dying for you, paying for sin and rising again, and here's my gift to you. It is my blood. When you trust in me, you're saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's the sign. Salvation is always by faith. By faith, she's going to be delivered from death. What happened? Turn a couple of pages in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. We saw this several weeks ago. Joshua chapter 6, look at verse 14. You remember the nation of Israel, they've gone to the city, they've crossed over. In fact, if you remember, one of the most amazing things, let me just remind you of this. The nation of Israel got ready to cross over the Jordan River, but it was at flood stage, and God said this, tell the priest to take the Ark of the Covenant, put it up on your shoulders like they're supposed to, walk right up to the river. When you get to the river, as soon as the priest put their feet in the water will stop, it will become dry land, the water will stop at a place called Adam, which is about a mile up that way, the water will go out this way, and the entire 2 million people will be able to cross on dry land, and that's exactly what happened. And then, when the priest stepped up out of the water, out of the dry land, as soon as they got up out of the riverbed, the water started right back again. So they're across, and they're ready to take the city. And every day, the first day, they marched around the city blowing trumpets, and the people in Jericho, I'm sure they were watching them march around the city, and they thought, this is stupid. I mean, it's stupid. I mean, what are you doing? You're just marching around the city blowing trumpets? And notice what it says in verse 14 of Joshua 6. Thus the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp, and they did that for 6 days. So 6 days they went and marched around the city. And then look what happened. At the seventh time, When the priest blew, verse 15, then on the seventh day they rose early at the dawning of the day and they marched around the city in the same manner. Only that day they marched around it seven times. And at the seventh time when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. By faith, the people marched around that city seven times. And on the seventh time, Joshua said, blow the trumpets and everybody shout as loud as you can. And the outer wall fell down, and they went right into the city. Verse 20, so the people shouted, and the priest blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell flat, so the people went straight into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Do you remember? They got a deal. And you can imagine the spies who have just, the wall has just fallen down, and they're conquering the city, and they said, We got a deal. We got to keep our word. Look at verse 22. Joshua said to the two men who had spied out the land, go into the harlot's house and bring the woman and all she has out of there as you have sworn to her. Go get them out. Go get them out. And so the young men who were spies went in and they brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brothers and all that she had, and they brought them all out of her relatives and placed them outside the camp of Israel. Saved them. Look at this. Verse 24, 25, they destroyed the city. They burned the city with fire, all that was in it. Verse 25, however, Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had, Joshua spared. And she lived in the midst of Israel to this day. Why? For she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Why did she live with the Jews? I think because she believed in the God of the Jews. I think she trusted God. I think she believed in God. She trusted the Israelites. She trusted the spies. By faith, she believed that her and her family would be safe. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to see something. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. Sometimes we don't read things as closely as we should. I want you to look at the verse. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish, she didn't, along with those who were what? Disobedient. See, they're disobedient because they've not believed in the true God. They've not believed in the God of Israel. They've not responded to the revelation that they might have had. They have not believed, and so they're called disobedient. Notice, by faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish with those who were disobedient after she welcomed the spies. How? In peace. She brought them in. By faith, Rahab did not perish. The scarlet cord is a picture of the blood. Just as the Passover lamb, just as faith in Jesus Christ, Rahab was saved. Now, hers was a physical salvation at this point because she had put that cord in the window and she was saved. By faith, every one of us in this room, when we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, by faith in the blood of the lamb, we have eternal life. Let's think about salvation for a second. What if you lived in that day and time, and the world, what would the world say? Rahab, you've lied to our own people. You've hid the spies. They're going to take the city. You can't trust them. You better get out of this city and run for your life. And she said, nope, I'm staying in the room with the cord and my family. When the world says, how can you have a relationship with God? The world calls it religion. And the world says the way you have a relationship with God is you do certain things to please God. Whether it's to go to church or get baptized or walk down an aisle or give your life or pray seven times or do this or do this. It's called religion because religion is man trying to do something to get to God. Why, Christianity is really God pleasing God. God so loved the world he gave his son. See, the world says, and this is Rahab, the world would say, Rahab, run for your life, and she waited. But the world says to us, to have life, you have to do good, to try to live right, to go to church, get baptized, something. But the word of God says, believe in Jesus Christ for eternal life. It's faith. So we've seen this morning, Rahab, by faith, did not perish physically in the city. She trusted the God of Israel and the men to save her. Well, let's make some applications. And this is first of all, understand the different meanings of salvation in the scripture. Think about it. There's salvation that's talking about eternal life. It comes by faith. Sometimes in the Bible, there's salvation from an enemy. Sometimes there's salvation from death. As we look at this passage and we see the flow of this passage, Rahab was saved from a physical death by faith. She believed these spies and she believed the God of Israel by faith. So understand those differences. Now, here's a key for all of us. And that is, let's make sure that we trust Jesus Christ for eternal life. Salvation is a gift. It is not by works. We're not saved by what we do, but by the faith in Jesus Christ for eternal life. Jesus died and rose again, and all who believe in him will never perish, but have everlasting life. Here's a great truth. We are not saved by what we do, but by faith in Jesus Christ. We live in a culture and in a world, and many people who go to church. In fact, you could do this. Go downtown Stillwater, and as you see people, walk up to them, and you could even say this. Say, I'm doing a survey. Do you go to church anywhere in this town? You'll find a large percentage of people go to church. But if you then ask them, what do you think a person must do to have an eternal relationship with God? What we find not only in Stillwater, but we find throughout the United States, that about 65% believe it's good deeds that saves them, not faith. And these are we're talking about people who go to church. We're not talking about people who don't go to church. So what you have to realize is there are a lot of people who are confused on the salvation message. They think it's good works somehow. Because that's what people have told them all their life. You need to join a church, you need to get baptized, you need to walk down an aisle, you need to give your life to Jesus, you need to serve, you need to do this. You don't fall away or you'll lose salvation. You know, you've heard all that all your life. People have. Salvation is a gift by faith alone in Jesus Christ. It is not our works, our goodness, our righteousness, but faith in Christ. May we rest in God's gift of salvation, which is eternal life. It's not according to our works, but based on the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And by faith, Rahab didn't perish with those who were disobedient. She welcomed the spies and she believed what they said.